have to do a little situating here. It's always been my dream to preach sitting down. And I've got another one, too, I'll tell you about. The next will be laying down. If I can do it laying down, if I can't do it that way, it can't be done. You know, one of the good things about being the preacher here is that you get to pick the reading. It's the preacher that picks out those scripture readings on Sunday morning. He writes them down, and you know, generally he'll spend a lot of time coordinating that with his lesson. If you've noticed, John does that, and I've done it many, many times. And we coordinate those with our lesson, but this morning I tricked you. This passage in Micah didn't have anything to do with the lesson of the day. Instead, it's a think about passage. It's a passage that it would really be nice if you'd go home and get your Bible and sit down and turn to the passage and think about it, and what it means and how it affects you and what you can do to live up to what Micah said there that God, Jehovah, requires of you. If you look at that and think about it, you realize there is necessity involved in this passage. There's something here that God wants me to do. And that something is just threefold. And you know, I've wanted to preach a sermon on this passage, but I just never have gotten around to taking the time to getting it together. But I've thought about it time and time again. I thought about it even for this occasion, and then I thought about something else. But to act justly, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? That involves how you treat others. It involves righteous behavior on your part. You know, it's just the epitome of what every Christian ought to be and do. And then to love mercy. Boy, if we live where revenge is everywhere about us. People getting even, a winner-take-all kind of society, loving mercy, thinking about others, and being merciful and kind and loving to others. That's something that, you know, you just don't hear so much about nowadays, do you? And then walking humbly before God. Whenever you serve God, as Gary pointed out in the class this morning, it's something that you do between you and God. It's a personal relationship. It's not something that you do so that others will look at you and say, "Well, whoo, what a wonderful fellow that is." No, sir, that's not it at all, is it? But it's that relationship between you and God. So, this is not the sermon now, but this is the meditation for the week. And this is your home assignment, to go home and look at this passage and think about it and see how you can apply it to yourself. Because every one of us needs to apply the Word of God to ourselves individually. Now, here's the sermon. Get ready. John was talking in a class here a while back, and he talked about how that word always expresses a condition. And I thought to myself while he was talking that, you know, that would make a pretty good sermon if I can put it together. And so that's what I'm trying to do this morning. I'm trying to put together for you a lesson on the word if. And the way I went about it, and there are probably a lot better ways, but the way I went about it is I got my trusty old Young's analytical concordance. Now, and I looked up the word if. Now, if you don't know what Young's concordance is, it is the epitome of concordances. You can find every word that's in the Bible. You can find it listed in Young's analytical concordance. Even the word like to, even the word or and or but. All of these words and their occurrences are listed, and the same is true of the word if. We say if a lot of times, don't we? If you'll be sweet to me, I'll give you some sugar. If you kids don't straighten up, I'm going to tie a rag around your tail and set it on fire. We've got a lot of ifs. If, because we have a lot of conditions, don't we? And conditions that are expressed for us in God's Word oftentimes are expressed in such a way as we know that if we do not abide by them, then we will not be pleasing to God. And we also know that if we do abide by them, then we will have God's approval and acceptance of our behavior. The very first word that I found of this was back in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, the story of Cain and Abel. And you know, they made an offering. Abel's offering was accepted, Cain's was rejected, and Genesis 4 tells us that Cain was mad. He was wroth, is that old English word. Wrath was on his countenance. And the Lord tried to reason with him, and the Lord said to him, if you do good, do what is right, will you not be accepted? You see, the problem, Cain was trying to blame God for not accepting his offering. God was pointing out to Cain that you did not offer in faith, Hebrews the 11th chapter. You did not do what I told you to do. You did not make the offering that I instructed to be made, the offering of not of the fruit of the field, but of the fruit of the flock, the meat offering, the burnt offering. And because of that, Cain's offering was not accepted. So he said, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is couching at the door. Sin is waiting there to spring on those people that do not do what is right. And then in looking at the word if in the scriptures, I turned over to Matthew 5 and into the Sermon on the Mount. And we kind of got there this morning in the light of the world, but right next to that passage about you're the light of the world, there is, you are the salt of the earth. And if the salt has lost its taste, wherewith will it be salted? You know, salt can do that, don't you? If you pour water on salt, leave it sit, what happens to it? It goes flat, doesn't it? Not usable any longer as a taste mechanism. Yesterday we were eating lunch and Maddie had made a meal and she hadn't put enough salt in it. And directly she said, this needs more salt. And she was right. And we put a little salt on it. And you know, it just tasted a whole lot better. There are a lot of things that taste better when you put salt on them. one that I enjoy, I guess, more than anything, is watermelon. If you salt your watermelon, you'll have a good taste there. But see, we Christians, are the salt of the earth. We make it so that the earth has a good taste in its mouth when it views our life. We're told in the scriptures many, many times that we have a relationship with those about us. It is love your neighbor as yourself. It is do good unto all men, especially those who are of the household of faith. You see, we have a relationship with others, and if we do in our lives what that relationship teaches us, then it is accepted of us, is it not? So, God wants us to be concerned with others. God wants us to look out for the welfare of others about us. He doesn't want us to live selfish, isolated lives that are not concerned with anyone or anybody else. He wants us to live caring, giving lives in which we think of ourselves more as servants than as those who have served. Jesus said then of us, when you've done everything you can, when you put your utmost into the task, said, think of yourself as an unworthy servant. Don't let it go to your head. Just get out there and quietly and humbly go about serving God in your life. And then I want to take you over to John chapter 14. And this kind of introduces a little different aspect of if. Here Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says to them, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I thought to myself as I was looking at this, boy, doesn't that shoot down a lot of people. You know, there are all kinds of people who are out here saying, I love Jesus, but really don't. How do I know that? Why can I say that? It's because they don't do what he commands. If you are saying, I love Jesus, but you're a drunk, you're not really loving Jesus, are you? And if you say, I love Jesus, and you lie and cheat, you see, because Jesus does not approve of that kind of behavior. His command excludes that type of behavior, and there's a whole list of excluded behavior, things to avoid in the scriptures. Look at Galatians, the 5th chapter, and that'll give you a list. And there are other lists that are available to you that tell you, don't do these things. Avoid these things. Learn to get away from these things. And if you do that, if you love the Lord, if you really love him, you'll make every effort to do that. And if you see, you'll examine yourself, and if you see a problem within yourself, you know what you'll do? You'll say, oh, I've got to quit this. And you'll set about trying to quit that kind of behavior. In thinking about this, if you love me, keep my commands. It's this Jesus who said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? And it's this Jesus who said, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise builder who built his house on the rock. The floods came, the winds blew, and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it was founded on a rock. You see, what we are talking about this morning, if behavior, in the words of Jesus, to keep my commandments, if you love me. What we're talking about here is the best thing that we can talk about for you and for me. The Lord does never, ever, under any circumstances, point you in a direction that will be harmful to you. All of His teachings lead you to that which is best for a human being living in this life. And it's only the teachings of the world that'll get you all mixed up, messed up, and confused. Well, then I want to go over to Romans, the 8th chapter. I got to find that here because it's hidden in the Word. Chapter 8. This kind of I found this reading and it's just full of if. And so I want you to listen to it. You are, however, are controlled, this verse 9 starts. You are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Now to me that means that if you live by the commands of Jesus, if you really love the Lord, then the Spirit of God is dwelling in you, the Spirit of Christ. And if it does, then Christ dwells in you as well. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. Yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. That's if. There's the condition. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised up Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. For if you live according to the sinful nature, now listen, you will die. That's plain, isn't it? We have obligations as God's people. That obligation is an inward obligation. So that an inward commitment is made to an outward righteous living. What people see is what we are inside. When they see our good works and glorify the Father in heaven, it's because inwardly we are good and we're doing what the good Lord wants us to do. And if we live that way, if we do that, we'll live. But if we don't do that, we'll die. A lot of people want to argue about whether you can sin and die as a Christian. But here's Paul's letter to Christians. Christians at Rome. And to the Romans he said, you Roman Christians, if you live by the sinful nature, you'll die. But if you live according to the Spirit, and in the Spirit put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. So that's put rather plainly to us. And down to the verse 17. Now, if we are children, he just argue that we are children of God. And if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. If is a wonderful thing. If is a powerful thing. The conditions expressed by if are many and manifold. Most of the standards of living can be expressed in this if way. There's some other things about if that I'd like you to know briefly. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 2. We know that if the earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, we have a home eternal in the heavens with God. You know, God does not leave us and forsake us even in our death. He is with us in our death. Jesus said, before he went away, shortly, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. That's what one of the functions that our Lord is doing today is preparing mansions for his people. A place to live, to be eternally with God, to be eternally happy, and to have all of the blessings of heaven showered upon us. If we live according to the Spirit, if we put to death the sinful deeds of sinful man. And then I would like to call your attention to Colossians 1, verse 22 and 23. Colossians 1, 22 and 23. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. I think our time is about over, and I had some other scriptures, but they kind of say the same thing. There's only one other passage that I want to call to your attention, and that's from the Philippian letter, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Listen to this: if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, well, you do have, don't you? If any comfort from his love, if any time there's stress or grief in your life, don't you have comfort from his love, knowing that he cares? If any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. We are here today to live under the conditions that God has imposed in his word. Many of these conditions have been expressed by the word and the idea of if. Now, if you are here this morning, and if you are in mind to be a servant of God, and if you're willing to submit yourselves to God in your life, in your mind, in your attitude, then isn't this the proper and the right time for you to respond? If so, if you feel that way, please come forward as we sing.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim.
Song this morning.